Welcome to Wednesdays with ONB.
On a Monday.
Exclusive podcast by Orange and Bronze, where we give you the lowdown in the software development industry straight from our resident developers. Welcome to our first episode, the missing pieces of software development practices we overlook.
In today's episode, we are joined by our very first guest, a member of the CHED Technical Committee for Computer Science, a board member and capability committee head for the Philippine Software Industry Association, and has been advising software development organizations on agile software development and software engineering best practices for almost 20 years. The CEO and co-founder of Orange and Bronze Software Labs and CTO and co-founder of EduSuite, Mr. Kalen Legaspi.
Welcome, sir. Kalen.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Martin, sir. Salamat po sa pagbibigay ng inyong oras upang
hi, RB.
Upang mamahagi ng inyong kaalaman.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you din po. Thank you rin kay Ru sa pag-organize ng ating programa. Okay, anong sisimulan po nating i-discuss?
Okay,
RB,
so, take it away. Hi, Sir Kalen. You've been in the industry for quite some time, almost 20 years. How has it changed?
When I first started, would you believe many companies didn't even know what version control was? Even some of the big companies, or even you'd be surprised, I know some multinationals didn't even know how to properly use version control. So there were a lot of missing software development practices. So I'd say, kahit papaano, there's been a lot of improvement. Of course, when I started, the word agile wasn't something people used in software development, right? The agile movement was there. The extreme programming movement was there, but it wasn't something that was made people were aware of in a formal, in an organizational setting. It was just something that some developers would talk about in, it was a grassroots thing. You'd see it in forums discussed. Sometimes there'd be conferences, but it was very far from mainstream. Now everybody knows what Agile knows, at least about Agile, has heard the word Agile software development, and they're trying. People are trying to apply. Practice. There's an awareness that there are better ways to do software development, and you see a lot of companies trying to adopt that. Even things like ONB was one of the first companies to practice test-driven development. So slowly there's an increase. I mean, it's still, most organizations still aren't able to do something like that. Pero there's an awareness that it's something that's important, right? So malayo yung what's happened to Philippine software development in the more than 20 years I've seen it.
Sir, pwedeng makichika, sir?
Sure.
Ano po bang event sa buhay nyo or naging inspiration, ba tao man yan o event na nagturo sa'yo sa landas ng pagiging isang developer?
Tito ko, siya, nasa IT siya sa States. And then during the dot-com days, kinukulit ako to take on software development. So yun, influence niya. That's why I got into the software space. Si Tito Carlos. Shout out to Tito Carlos.
Runs in the family ba, sir?
Not really. Siguro kaming dalawa lang ang pumunta sa technical route.
May inspirational na person naman po pala.
Yeah.
Sir, parang kumpara po sa ngayon, ang hirap po siguro nun makakuha ng resources at mga references. So, paano po ang
So I had to malaking investment kasi unlike now everything's on the internet, wala ka masyadong mga sa search in the internet, so I had to invest a lot in books. Sometimes i-import ko pa from the US, so So isang libro from Amazon is like what, 5,000, gagastos ka na ng 5,000 pesos tapos i-import mo pa, 'di ba? Papa-ship mo pa. So siguro lagpas more than half ng salary ko napupunta lang sa libro. So you know, whatever local resources available, local books, I'd buy them, pero some of the better books syempre sa Amazon. Of course, I join a lot of mailing lists. Dati, wala pang Stack Overflow, so I had to join mailing list so I can get, if I'm stuck, may matatanungan ako kahit papano. And then, I helped found this organization in 2001, the Filipino Java Users Group, or Pinoy Jug. And then, today it's not so active, but when we started, linggo-linggo, or minsan sometimes twice a week or three times a week, we'd mag-meet up kami to study, to exchange. So we take turns doing presentations, a little bit like what we do at ONB, where every month somebody would give a talk. Linggo-linggo, magkikita kami, we'd do some knowledge sharing. Some of us were trying to get certified to have our first Java certification, so we'd have sessions on parang study sessions on Java certification. But sometimes it would be different things, like somebody would talk about design patterns, somebody would talk about refactoring, somebody would talk about test-driven development. So ang dami ko natutunan sa mga friends ko doon, the people I met in Pinoy Jug, who 20 years later are still my friends. So, ayun.
So, local peer-to-peer knowledge exchange pala talaga. Locally, sir, parang mahirap talaga makakuha ng sources of references, talagang mostly import talaga. Kayo ang nag-uusap-usap tungkol sa mga iba't ibang resources na nakukuha.
So we'd shared, say I'd buy a book and then papa-photocopy ko para yung iba may kopya din. So ganun na ganun.
Basically, book club,
ganun, and then, you know, what was my salary then? Siguro, hindi pa umaabot. My first salary, mga 10,800 after regularization. 10,000 pesos muna, tapos naging 10,800. So talagang, halos lahat ng sweldo ko napupunta sa, investment in books. And nakayanan ko pang magpa-certify nun, and back then I had to, well, it's still the same price, $150. But when we bought it at Sun Microsystems itself, may patong pa silang $20. So ayun. So Java 3. Java 1.3.
Wala pang generics.
Wala pa. So yun, halos buong sweldo ko para sa isang certification ticket. Hindi yun sponsored ng kumpanya, so kung binagsak ko, oh well, there goes my money.
Sir, para naman eh.
Tapos, sometimes I'd spend weekends at the office kasi wala akong internet sa bahay. Well, may dial-up. So, para makapag-aral, dun ako sa office. Para may internet.
Sir, paano naman kayo napagpad sa pagtatayo ng isang kumpanya pagkatapos nyong maging pioneer ng isang grupo ng Java learners?
Well, one thing that from my family background is it's a very entrepreneurial family. So, many of my relatives, including my parents, have their own businesses, and then they encouraged me to start my own. So naisip ko, nakikita ko yung gap sa software development, like kinento ko, kahit version control, minsan yung mga multinational di alam kung paano mag version control. So ang laki ng gap. So naisip ko, siguro this is something that there needs to be a company that can fill the gap on software development practices. So that's where I started the company.
Speaking of, tanong lang sir, dati how was yung development na workflow dati kumpara ngayon? Did you guys have your own machines or parang kasi di ba I understand that some dati there were these, you know, mainframes.
Hindi naman ako. Hindi naman ako, ano, umabot sa mainframe era. So, PC era na rin naman. Although when we started, hindi necessarily web, right? So, a lot of times it was we were building desktop clients, right? So, merong web. There might have been a server, but the front end was a desktop client. Ayun. And then we'd have our own PCs naman, ikaw naman. Not that far back. I did start that far back. And then I had to figure things out myself, like when I first led a project. Yung company, when I became a project manager the first time, the company I worked for didn't have any processes. So, ako yung nag-set up. I had to figure out myself, anong magandang version control. And then, di ko pa alam kung anong version control yung pipiliin ko. So, I chose CVS para CVS, not even SVN. Kasi back then, SVN medyo bago. So, naisip ko, huwag muna SVN kasi new. Would you believe subversion, yung new, wala pang git. Ayun, so, and then syempre, nasisira yung repo, ako pa mag-aayos, ako naging tech support ng repo. So, understanding things like proper layering, proper relational database design, there weren't, I made a lot of mistakes because I had to figure those things out on what to tell my team how to proceed. Ayon, eventually we discovered how to use Hibernate. Not necessarily Spring, kasi back then si Spring wasn't even a framework. It was just a book. It was ideas in a book, not even wala pang framework talaga.
Yeah, ayon. Ano di ba? Parang may libro yan, di ba, sir? Yung enterprise patterns.
The book was by Rod Johnson, J2EE without EJB. So basically, the beginnings of Spring Framework, he wrote it. The idea of the Spring Framework, he wrote it in a book. So wala pang framework, ideas lang na ginawa niyang libro. And then that's one of the books I bought. And then one of the books we tried to book club in Pinoy Jug. Ayun. A lot of it was over my head, but I tried to understand it as much as I could.
Naita ko ngayon sa office yung libro na yun. I tried reading it nung I think I was a new hire back then. Tapos interested ako dun sa ideas behind, you know, Spring. Tapos when I was studying it, napansin ko na most of yung patterns na yon, same with yung libro, yung enterprise integration patterns, most of them embedded na mismo dun sa framework, tapos sa language. So parang, I just decided to study the framework itself kasi naita ko, applied naman na dun yung patterns. And yun.
Yeah. Ang galing nga. It's great nga kasi parang dati, di ba, ang dami mong aaralin na patterns, parang just to make sure that medyo organized yung code mo. Ngayon, embedded na siya sa mga frameworks . So, of course, some people, they don't understand the principles and patterns behind the framework. So, they misuse it. Na-misuse pa rin nila. Pero yun, it's so powerful now. If you just need to know, if you just take the time to study all the rationale and principles behind all the tools and frameworks you have available to you, ang galing. It's so much easier to build robust, high quality systems now. Layo ng nadating ng software development.
Yeah, dahil nabanggit nyo na rin yan, sir. Mm-hmm. Ano ang, para sa inyo, isa sa mga pinakamahalagang pagbabago over the years? May mga notable developments ba para sa inyo?
Negative or positive? What do we...
Positive muna, sir.
Positive. Yun nga. Daming frameworks and tools. So, aralin mo lang yung how to use them properly, what's the rationale behind them. So it's easy to build something for secure, easy to maintain, and systems, Like I was teaching a college course for CIIT. And then one of the students, sinabi ko lang, oh, for your machine problem, kahit simple lang, you don't have to do anything fancy, I demonstrated parang a sample app using Spring Framework, pero simple lang na may domain model lang, may konting UI, hindi ako gumamit ng wala man lang database, di ba, puro mock lang yung data, hard-coded lang yung data. I said, oh, hanggang dito lang, kahit ganyan lang, okay na. Tapos, nung nag-submit na siya ng work niya, may Spring Security, may JPA. So, then and there lang siya nag-aaral. And I heard, hindi yun nga siya ganun ka lakas sa Java. So, recently niya lang na-pick up, like, I think the semester before yung Java. And then he was able to build, basically, an enterprise-grade system using the tools available. The tools are amazing, right? And of course, those are standing on the foundations of the design patterns, design principles that people have talked about, and then they built frameworks around those design patterns and principles.
And, parang sir, no? Nagiging relative term na ang simpleng starter system. Dahil sa isang pindot mo lang, Spring Framework, ang dami na agad dependency na pwedeng mailagay.
Yeah. But of course, you have to take the time of understanding. So parang less, not so much the coding, pero kailangan iniintindi mo yung tools na ginamit mo, kasi baka isang annotation, di mo alam kung anong nangyayari, di ba? You have to understand what that annotation does, what are the implications. Mamaya, yung annotation na yan, mali-mali yung nangyayari. Right? Yeah, also makes it a little hard to debug kasi maraming magic in between.
Yeah, more often than not. Actually, yun, pag may mga bagong pasok sa team namin, usually I make it a point na wag lagyan masyado ng magic yung mga systems na ginagawa namin. I don't rely too much on parang mga annotations. Mm-hmm. Kasi more often than not, pag kunwari sabihin natin I started a project, tapos yun, ginamit ko to the max lahat ng mga annotation, mga auto-wiring ni Spring, madalas nangyayari when somebody else starts to, you know, maintain it. Usually malaki yung hump na kailangan nilang malaki yung learning curve kumbaga, because you know they have to learn a lot about these annotations, tapos di nila alam na may ganun palang magic na nangyayari.
Ako yun. naliligaw ako sa mundo ng magic kasi masabi nating napakatindi na ng abstraction. Wow. Abstraction. Diba? Parang lagay mo na lang yung annotation, may gagawin na siya. Pero kahit di mo naman talaga alam kung paano in the background, magic na talaga siya para sa useful, pero at the same time, it takes effort pa rin para aralin talaga. Pero ang galing.
Yeah, pero it's easy to get started, diba? Which is yun yung, para sa akin yun yung parate, para sa akin yun yung pinakamahirap. When you're starting out with any, you know, technology or framework, diba? Ang hirap. Parang mapagana. Pag napagana mo, that's it. Yan yung light bulb moment. Tuloy-tuloy na yan usually.
Okay, sir. So, how about, sir, practices na ginagawa nyo dati na mukhang hindi na applicable ngayon?
Di na applicable. One of the things that surprised me in a conversation with Lorenzo D, our VP for Consulting Services. Yung hindi na pala ganun kakailangan yung service layer. Although, even before, sabi ni Martin Fowler, can be go without a service layer, di ba, in his book on design enterprise patterns. Kahit Martin Fowler ba yun? Anyway, kung sino man.
Yeah, I think it's something called relaxed layered architecture.
Parang di na raw kailangan ng masyado ng service layer. And then with yung sa domain-driven design ni Eric Evans, ano eh, so he defines iba, application service and ano yun, domain service ba yata, yung two kinds of services. Yeah. Pero hindi na kailangang layer talaga yung service layer. And the reason why, and then so, ano, na-realize ko, kasi dati, yung, when we were working with EJBs, we were working with these things, servlets, derecho, importante yung service layer kasi kung wala kang service layer para matest yung mga yung code mo, kailangan mo deploy parati sa ano sa application container, di ba? So in order to have something that you can test without deploying to an application container, you would externalize some of the code into these services na pwedeng you can test na you can unit test, may input may output, imamak mo na lang any dependencies, right? Ngayon ngayon POJOs na, right? So you imbis na servlet yung mga controllers mo, POJO lang si controller, kaya you can actually unit test the controllers without having to deploy, right? And then So na-realize ko. So nagiging walang laman, 'di ba, si service layer, si services. And then so sabi ni Lorenzo, you know, you can pretty much eliminate, like, what if it actually makes sense to put your repository references to your repositories diretso sa controller mismo instead of dadaan ka pa sa service. 'Yun kasi nagiging middleman lang si service. Dati the middleman served the purpose para, ano, you had something to test outside of a container. Now, you don't need that anymore. Pwedeng diretso yung logic nasa controller, yung references to the repositories nasa controller. So I think that's one of the light bulb moments, ano eh. Parang dati, parang religious na. Hindi, kailangan parati. It was a religious to me na dapat parating may service layer na. And then ngayon, with all the frameworks available, it's to allow for POJOs, hindi na, it's no longer necessary.
Yeah, kami, what we do sa ano namin, mga projects namin, usually we do a mix. Sometimes gumagamit kami ng ano, we still use the application service na layer, pero only if there is logic involved dun sa ano. Pag simple lang siyang CRUD, most of the time we just, you know, do yung repository recta dun sa controller, or sometimes actually, you know, with new libraries kay Spring, di ba, meron na yung Spring Data Rest. What it does, it automatically generates yung REST API for you. Just give it like a repository or something, annotate mo lang, tapos yun, may CRUD API ka na, easy.
Right, yun. So yun, that's the thing I can think of na parang nung panahon ko, parang necessity. Tapos ngayon, di na pala kailangan.
Ano, sir? Question. How about yung ano, yung team dynamics? How has it, you know, how has, you know, working in an organization or in a team changed, you know, over the years?
Working in a team. The tools for collaboration are all there if people bother to use them, right? Of course, there's your GitHubs, GitLabs, right? There's the there's all the communication channels. There's your project management tools. There's an understanding that now we need to communicate more often, right? Before people didn't know you're supposed to at least talk about your work every day. Now we know that there's an understanding that we need to communicate every day, right? There's an understanding that we need to show our work, right? To have these to get feedback from the stakeholders. Ayun. So I think it's improved. I think on that sa Agile, on the communication collaboration side, it's been the movement has been a very big help, right? Medyo lagging yung adoption of the engineering side of Agile, But on the collaboration side of Agile, there's been a big improvement.
I see. Usually, let's do yung parang 180 tapos balik tayo, diba? Because let's say for example, meron mga fresh, diba? Usually fresh grad and kadalasan hindi sila sanay mag-work sa team.
Mm-hmm.
Diba ang mga fresh grad. How do you ease them, diba, into your team?
Siguro, I haven't had a team in a while. Usually, it's you guys, yung mga team leads ang kausap ko, right? Or,
yeah.
So, baka mas, that's a question you're better off answering na how have you been handling fresh grads? Right now, I've been training fresh grads, right? Sometimes, I also conduct classes for CS students. So, I encounter a lot of students. I see the gap between what students know and what they really should know. Ayun. Pero actually, handling a team, I haven't done that in a long time. Baka ikaw, RB, you'd have better advice on easing fresh grads into a team.
Tanong pala siya para sa akin.
Di naman ako team. Tagal na ako hindi nag-team lead or PM.
Ikaw na ang susunod na guest, RB.
Ako na susunod na guest. Uh-oh. Abangan!
Interview mo sarili mo.
Isang talakayan with RV. Si Sir Kalin naman ang magtatanong sa'yo.
Ah, sige.
Sir, how about practices naman na sa tingin mo ginagawa nyo dati na napaka-helpful pa rin ngayon?
One of the things that I've noticed is in the last 10 years or so, nawala yung RDBMS skills ng mga fresh grads, ng mga CS grads. Siguro, because before, the DB was the thing, the king, the database. So there was a stronger, very strong emphasis on database. But now there's more layers. It seems that fresh grads, they can be quite comfortable with an application development language like Java or JavaScript. Or C sharp, pero they're out of. They don't know how to properly model yung pag nakita mo yung mga requirements, yung business domain, how to identify the entities and value objects, di ba? Nawala yung skill na yon, mag-ERD to properly model, mag-normalize, or even the SQL scripts, the queries. Baka puro parang puro select asterisk lang alam ng mga fresh grads. Baka na nadaan nila sa school yung joins pero takot silang mag-join. So yung foundations sa RDBMS, of course we experience it na okay, works on my machine, tapos when there's actual load, when there's actual concurrent users, dun na pumapalya yung systems, diba? So, that's the big thing I think that's been missing in the last in the last 10, so over the last decade or more or so, 10 or 20 years, nag-erode yung relational database skills ng mga fresh grads.
Yeah, I think kasi madalas kasi parang ngayon may emphasis parati on frameworks. Mm. So, yung mga fundamentals na ganun.
Mm-hmm.
I think yun yung reason.
Yeah.
But RDBMS, di ba? Wala namang masyadong nagbago for the past, di ba? 20 years.
Well, actually, yun nga eh. Marami ang nangyari. And it's just that application developers, Java developers, they think the RDBMS is just a way, place to store data. Pero things like, kunyari, yung support for JSON, you can create a column now in most RDBMSs that has an optimized way of storing JSON. So you put the JSON document in the column and then it will parse it, it will index it para mabilis yung pag-search through the JSON document. You can modify it. So pretty much what MongoDB does, any database can do that. So what's the significance of that? One is you can have you don't have to specify your schema. There are parts of your schema that you don't have to specify in advance. So if you have this is part of the project that you'll be working on soon. When you're going to have dynamic fields, normally you'd use the EAV pattern, right? But it's very inefficient to query an EAV.
Yeah.
Instead, you can use a JSON type of column, JSON type data, JSONB for Postgres. Tapos, it's efficient. You can create new fields in your JSON documents on the fly, right? Yeah. Add or remove. Pero yung querying is efficient kasi fields, those elements are indexed. And then when you're doing queries, you can query on a single table. You can make a query across the relational field, the relational columns, as well as yung JSON type of data in a single query. So, so you can create queries that hindi nahiwala yung relational database mo versus your non-relational database. And so, actually, a lot has happened in databases. Pero hindi pinapansin ng karamihan ng developers because the hype is in the application layer or in the UI layer, right? So, yun, hindi napapansin ang development in the DB.
Yeah, gets.
Actually, taktong nabanggit niya yan, sir, dahil isa yan sa mga na-suggest ni Sir Lino na topic na buti na lang daw siya. Nakapag-take siya ng SQL class.
Nice.
Pero actually, sir, at least kami, nung sa panahon namin, may mga RDBMS na subjects din kami. Actually, napurga kami sa mga ganun. So, okay nga po talaga siya.
So in your school, malakas pa rin yung RDMS. That's good.
Meron din, sir. Kaso which nga school? Lang, ang kulang naman sa amin is parang hindi kami na-expose sa bagong technologies. Which is a segue, sir, dahil may nagtanong galing sa ating FB Live. Nag-offer daw po ba kayo ng trainings for graduates para sa pagiging update tech? Kasi mayroon pong gap sa current market skills, pero fundamentally, sound naman.
Well, for me, questionable yung sinabing sound, yung fundamentals. I still believe schools should focus on computer science, not the latest technology. When you get employed, it's the responsibility of the company to teach you those technologies, right? Mm-hmm. So, a lot of companies, parang they send their HR people to the schools, tapos sinasabi, you should learn this and that, para mas mababa yung cost nila for training. Pero hindi naman yun yung responsibility ng comp sci departments. The CS departments have their role. Like for example, hindi naman tayo magtuturo ng data structures and algorithms sa mga hires natin, di ba? So iba yung responsibility natin. So I don't think it's the responsibility of schools, and I think industry should stop pressuring schools to teach specific technologies. In terms of learning technologies when you get employed by a company, it's their responsibility to teach you technologies, and of course, a lot of RB, you just finished a boot camp, right, for one of our clients.
Yeah.
So the clients engage us to like things like AWS cloud. So the clients, some of our clients have us conduct the training on the specific technologies and as well as the best practices on top of those technologies. All right. So yun. So the answer is yes, we have a lot of training, on technologies as well as approaches. Normally, those are paid for by your employers, right? Because each employer would have their own technology staff. Right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes they outsource it to us. Sometimes they do it on their own, in-house, or to some other vendor. Yeah.
kumbaga basta may fundamentals pwede oh, mo i-apply oh. sa technology, kasi, no?
Oh, kasi meron din namang ano, marunong na lahat ng technology pero hindi alam kung the only data structure he knows is an array. So pwede naman siyang gumamit ng, he doesn't know when to use a hash table or a binary tree kasi andun naman lahat, diba? It's all in the libraries. Pero since wala siyang exposure, mahina yung exposure niya sa data structure sa school niya, lahat na lang array or lahat na lang array list, diba? So
naging ano, parang when you have a hammer, everything becomes a nail.
Oh, like kunyari, ano, kukunin mo yung data from the database as an array list, tapos ikaw yung mag-write ka pa ng script para matanggal yung mga duplicates or something like that, or para ma-sort.
Yeah.
So yun, the foundations in CS is important. Pabago-bago naman yung technologies, but it's I think realm na ng industry to teach specific technologies, and then CS should focus on computer science so that regardless of the technology, the graduate can make good decisions.
Ano yan, sir? Programming languages are just tools, di ba?
Right.
All the tools are just tools. Well, tools sila. Tools lang sila.
Right.
Ang gagaling pa rin sa ating mga devs ang tunay na magiging structure ng lahat-lahat. Pinapadali lang nila buhay natin.
Yeah. You want to talk about those like certain practices that I think the schools should be teaching na hindi naman technology specific pero certain, you know, good coding practices, things like that. You want to talk about that?
Sige,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, like for example, simple things like mga students di man lang marunong mag-validate ng parameters, di ba? Kasi yung maintainability, understanding maintainability and safe coding practices. Proper naming, right? Kasi in school, basta gumana, okay na, masasubmit. Right?
Yeah. Actually, sir, ang laking tulong ng proper naming. Dahil nasanay kami sa int x, may, int y, int may, i. Puro ganun,
may,
sir.
May friend ako dati, tanda ko, pinaita niya sa akin yung project niya. Ano yon? Ang dami niyang variables na ginamit, A to Z, kinulang pa siya, men. Kinulang pa siya dun sa alphabet.
Right.
Pati yung sa Greek, ginamit niya, alpha, beta.
Look, may ganyan. Look, one of the things we realize, right, when we are working, is we spend more time reading other people's code than actually writing, right? So, pasalamat ka sa mga teammates mo, or if it's code that you're working on legacy code, pasalamat ka if the previous developers took the effort to make their code readable. And that's, I think that's a huge thing that's missing that schools can take, that can teach. It's still part of the domain of schools to teach how to write readable code, right? So, proper naming, if you work with Junilu, right, yung 3-second rule niya na dapat your methods should be readable and understandable in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? So break, kung if it's not, break it up. Break it up into smaller methods para it's understandable. So yun, so there's readability, right? There's making code safe to modify by simple practices like simple things like always validating your parameters. Kasi instead of assuming that the parameters will always be safe, assume the opposite na, whether I wrote the code that passes the parameter or somebody else, I'll assume that there might be something wrong with the value. So I should always validate parameters in all of my methods. Ayun. What are the other practices that coding practices? Maganda yung segueing from yung the practice of relational modeling, di ba, identifying entities and values. Because you do the same thing for on the application layer, not just on the database, di ba? In modeling the domain. Okay, so that's something that schools can teach na how to create a proper domain model. So right now, when I'm teaching software engineering sa CIIT, yun yung emphasis ko, that's part of my emphasis na you create a domain model that's at the actual documentation of your clients or the business domain. Nakikita mo sa code. Parang you create a little machine. Parang like a toy train model, di ba? You try to represent what's in the business real world. You try to represent it in as code. And in the process, you end up also having the same language, a ubiquitous language with the client, with the business. Na pag sinabi ni business, oh, may bug sa invoice. May makikita kang code na nakasulat invoice or invoicing. So alam mo, oh, ito yung titingnan ko para maayos yung bug. Pero if you don't have a mapping between the terms in the business versus your identifiers, your method names, your variable names, class names in your software. Kung bago kang developer, right, nag-alisa na yung ibang devs, tapos sabi ng tao sa business, oy, parang may bug sa invoicing. Hindi mo alam kung saan ka mag-uumpisa. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Other things that I think schools should start teaching is proper use of version control. I mean, tagal na ng Git, tapos libre lang ang GitHub. So they should learn how to use proper version control. So right now, mga third year students yung mga tinuturuan ko, first time nilang gumamit ng Git and GitHub. So that's dapat from first year pa lang lahat ng sinasubmit ng mga lahat ng sinasubmit ng homework
version
ng
control,
mga oh naka version control na. And then maybe I think unit testing as early as second year, dapat tinuturo na unit testing.
Seriously, ang swerte nga ng mga naturoan niya kasi ako, kahit yung version control, sa industry ko lang din na encounter ng todo eh. Kasi, pansin ko sir, kapag, ano ba, siguro sa kung naging curriculum namin, medyo masyadong theoretical. Tapos sa technical side, bahala na kami. And, hindi naman din lahat exposed sa technical side ng pagiging dev. So, hindi rin alam kung saan sisimulan. So, sabi ko magkaroon nga siguro ng balance.
Ganun. Yeah, mali din yon. Kung puro theoretical, baka yung profs mo hindi rin mag-code. Kasi, I remember...
Ako, baka may issue ako dyan sa...
lagot sa mga profs mo, ha? Hunting ka. Hindi ka na pwedeng umapak sa school mo. But basically, I've also conducted training for teachers. Minsan, may PhD, di marunong mag-code. Eh. So... I remember during the first years of ONB, we conducted a lot of training for teachers. We helped PSIA sa mga boot camps for faculty. So dapat tuturuan namin sila ng Java and TDD and Enterprise Java. Pero writing basic code pa lang, na how to properly assign variables or whatever, how to properly pass parameters or writing functions, di nila alam eh. So, sablay na. PhD pa yung iba. So, very disappointing.
Baka, kinabahan tuloy ako sir. Baka hindi na ako makakuha ng alumni card.
Ah, hindi na talaga.
Hindi na. In-out mo na eh.
Oo.
Na-out.
Hindi na talaga. Carl Viernes. Carl Viernes.
Ano, sir?
Carl Zachary.
Fundamentals.
Carl Zachary Viernes.
Carl Fundamentals, sir. Yun po ang masasabi ko. Sound fundamentals po. Hindi, pero sa ano, yun lang po nahirapan talaga pagdating sa ano technology din. Kasi pero, although siya, ano, naging exposed naman po kami sa Java.
Pero para sa akin, ano, mag-okay din yun sa school din eh, na parang, ano yun kayo, parang hasain kayo sa both theoretical. Tapos coding kasi ako, at the time nung nagsuschool pa ako, I coded for ano leisure. So, mas malakas sa encoder kaysa sa theoretical. Pero ano, ang tawag mo doon? Okay din actually yung ginagawa ng school eh. Kasi kunwari, 'di ba, for a database, kung naiintindihan mo 'di ba kung paano gumagana ang isang tree, 'di ba? Tree na data structure, B tree, hindi binary tree, B tree. Diba, basically that's your index, diba? Ako that's ako kaya madali kong na-gets yung concept ng ganun, ng database index, although hindi siya tinuro sa school at the time. Kasi yun, yung tree, familiar ako dun sa ano na yun, ganung klaseng data structure. Most of the time, 'di ba, nagbi-build up naman kung ano yung bagong technology mong aaralin. Most of the time it's just, you know, a matter of syntax. Pero once you get the underlying principles, like yun nga, yung data structures, yung algorithms on how it does stuff, 'di ba, madali na lang makuha or madali na lang magets yung tech.
Siguro lang ano, sana umahabol din para updated yung tech na ginagamit kung paano maturo yung mga fundamentals. Yun siguro yung ano, sana. Mm-hmm. Para paglabas ng mga graduates, okay, sige, sound fundamentally, tas at least may kahit paanong katiting sa kung anong ginagamit paglabas talaga. Pero mahalaga talaga fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Okay, ba, sir? Any other, ano sir, practices na tingin nyo kailangan pa maliban sa mga yan?
Readability of code, preventing bugs, understanding how to model domains both on the database and on the application side, version control, unit testing, ano pa ba yung mga kailangan matutunan ng mga fresh grads?
I'd like to add something.
Sure, go ahead.
Yung paggamit ng terminal.
Ay, nako. Bakit ba? Bakit pa? Dapat, sinasabi ko minsan sa mga profs, dapat first year ng CS, sabihin sa mga students, oh, ano, reformat nyo na lang yung mga Windows machines nyo. Linux na kayo.
Yeah. Nasusurprise ako minsan, mga fresh grads, I still have to, you know, teach them how to change directories, how to move copy a file, di ba? Using the terminal. Right.
Yeah.
So, din kami siguro diyan na at least kahit paano naturuan kami diyan. Kahit paano marunong mag-navigate ng terminal, para ang saya-saya.
Yeah, I think while hindi siya CS, more on IT siya, pero pag sa totoong when you're working, 'di ba? You work as software engineers, not computer scientists. So dapat there's a bit of IT na alam natin, right? Not just computer science. So definitely competence in Linux on the technical side. It's not so much the libraries and the frameworks, pero mas importante competence in Linux kasi yun yung gateway to the cloud, right? Yeah. Understanding the cloud.
Understanding how your machine works.
Yeah. Oh, understanding how the internet works, right? So foundation of Linux, and then later on, if they can learn more about the cloud and learn more about web security, I think those are some of the technical things. Indeed, not necessarily computer science, but very valuable skills that students should learn while they're in school, and schools should provide access. Of course, IT, definitely, IT students should know these things, but computer science students should also. It should be part of the computer science curriculum as well.
Nakakatulong siya, sir, na maging komportable ka sa machine mo. Mm-hmm. Hindi lang yung mga click, hindi puro depende sa IDE, ganun. Parang nakatulong siya sa akin din na sa pagiging aware ko sa terminal na okay, komportable ako na ganito maggalaw ng directory, mga ganun.
Right.
Yeah, most of the time, pagpasok din sa team namin, I give them a bunch of scripts para mapadali yung buhay nila. Kasi
kung matututo kong automation, since bilang devs, parang dapat karamihan ng trabaho natin at some point or in some capacity, kaya natin gawing automated pampadali ng buhay.
Right.
Din siya.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a lack of awareness on what's available na, my cron pala to schedule things, diba? You should be aware that there's all these basic tools available to you.
Yeah.
ano, in connection, what, parang papadali na rin siya ng version controlling tulad na. Actually, tinuro ni Arby yun. Galing ay.
One more thing na ano, gusto ko pa palang i-add dun sa sinabi niyo, Sir Talen. Ako ay maganda, super gandang matutunan ng Docker. Like, as early, as soon as possible. Kasi, ang daling mag-setup ng ano eh. Ang daling gumamit ng mga tools using Docker eh. Kahit, if you're using Docker even just for development capacity, not necessarily a deployment na ano, na capacity. Kunwari, kailangan mo ng database, tapos para di ka na mag-install, you just use a Docker image, run ka lang ng ano, MySQL or Postgre. I've used Docker so many times and it helped me learn a lot of, you know, tech like RabbitMQ, Redis, ganun. Sobrang I'm not sure if I could say that it's underrated, pero sa schools, I think dapat, you know, maano yung Docker, madaanan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Naka-overwhelm siyang malaman na kailangan mo gawin yan lahat kapag sa ano, unang project mo. Kaya parang okay nga talagang maturo siya.
Hindi, kasi isipin mo, diba sa school dati, kunwari, may assignment kayo sa DB1 nyo na subject. Anong kailangan mong gawin? Diba, you have to install yung Postgre nyo, you have to install your MySQL, tapos, anong tawag dun? Aabutin ka ilang oras kasi may kailangan ka pang i-configure. Like kay Docker, diba? One command, yun, may database ka na. Less than 5 minutes.
Kaya nga, okay siyang maturo talaga in the undergrad years rather than bigla na lang. Uy, dapat marunong ka na mag-Docker. Okay. Mukhang palubog na ang araw. At mukhang yan ang cue natin. Malapit na maggabi. At yan na lang po ang oras natin para sa usapang ito ngayong araw. Okay. Sige. So, dahil dyan, salamat ulit, Sir Callen. And I hope the listeners got something out of today's episode. Okay, guys, thank you. Join the ONB conversation and get a chance to get your questions featured on our next episode by tagging us on Facebook.
Jumpstart your software development career by joining ONB and visiting our website, www.orangeandbronze.com/careers.
Don't forget to click the follow button to stay up to date on our latest episodes.